Let us welcome my dear friend, Dr. David O'Malley.
Wow. Good morning, everyone. Please join me to say thank you, sir, to Apostle Samson. You may be seated. When I heard the 15 men, I thought it was in the spirit that they died. Until he clarified again. Wow. I want to specially honor you again, Pastor Poju. Thank you for what you're doing for the body of Christ. And First Lady, you have my 7-star salute. You know, one of my sons was being made a military general, so I was preaching in the military headquarters. It was that day I discovered the way they give ranking. When they give a man a rank, they bring the wife and give the wife one rank ahead. That's how the army operates. It was an eye-opening event to me. So all of us owe you great honor for looking after Pastor Poju. Yes, ma'am. We owe you great honor. Hallelujah. Okay, this morning, let me kind of address the theme of the program, the kingdom. Heavenly Father, let your kingdom come. Amen. Cause your will and your purpose to be executed to precision. Grant me that grace to break things down. Make it so simple that even babies can access it. And let us live here with the transformational impact of your world. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Okay, many years ago, before Dr. Myers left, Bahamas was usually my next place to go. We go there for two reasons, to enjoy tourism, go to, you know, and then to attend his annual conference. Then we developed relationship, Pastor Sarah and I, with him, and he began to mentor us. He was the one that helped me to make transition. Papa Idahosa laid the foundation. Papa Idahosa lived ahead of his generation. But when I was observing him, I saw where he used to go. He once made a statement that you get to a point, you don't know who to listen to. But he said one of those places he goes to feed himself was Bahamas. Ah! So I found Tulsa with the Faith Movement headquarters and T.L. Osborne, Kenny Hagin, and Oral Robert. Now I found Bahamas. So we started going. So one of our pastors was working with him as his PA. He created the opportunity to develop relationship. We're sitting in his office, he made a statement. He said, only 1-2% of God's children understand the kingdom. So he said to me, David, pay the price to understand it. He said, it's a treasure hidden in the field, which very few understand. He said, when you actually discover it, you will sell every other thing to lay hold of it. Because if you do, this is what he told me. He said, God will shift heaven and earth to get you to where believers hardly go, because he needs you to represent him there as his ambassador. He will open up all kinds of doors within and outside the church. I went deep, and I began to study it wasn't long. I'm being invited in places I hardly see pastors. United Nations has invited me twice to come and address the United Nations. Yeah. Because something happened to my understanding. Something broke. You see, Christian life and ministry is three-dimensional. The first level is where you're dealing with individual transformation, individual needs, individual ministry. You're dealing with individuals, people's needs. The second level is community, church. Then something beyond church, it could be community or organizational transformation. So the needs you are addressing is just beyond what individuals need to what a community needs. The third level is where you are dealing with national transformation, or you are dealing with needs of a whole nation, or you are even addressing the need of the world. I've also found out that, so my ministry, my understanding of ministry is now divided in these three dimensions. Beyond seeking to help individuals, I develop ministry on a higher level, which is to benefit a whole community of believers. I told you yesterday that Pastor Poju's ministry is divided across these three lines. And then, of course, the highest level of ministry is not the man that saved a soul or healed a sick person. It's the man that saved a nation or transformed a nation. It's easier to cast demons out of an individual who has a problem. Can you cast a demon that is troubling Nigeria? If the church in Nigeria does not mature to be able to save and transform this country, we did not reach our capacity in God. So usually you notice that this is the pattern. God calls a man, Abraham. The next thing, he gets a community out of that man, the people of Israel. Then he now walks through Abraham and those people to reach all the nations of the earth. The ultimate goal in the calling of Abraham is that through you, all the families, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Israel is a means to an end. Israel is not the end of the program. Church is not the end of the program. The kingdom is. So this program is you, the church, and the kingdom. And at the kingdom level, we're dealing with a bigger picture. And that level of understanding is one of the issues we are facing in the church world in Nigeria. Our understanding, majority of the people are still trapped with their own problems, with their own needs. A few have understood the purpose for the community, the church. Then maybe less than 1%, if we even have up to 2% in Nigeria, that understand the kingdom dimension to the equation. Because if we do understand that third dimension, then we understand that the body of Christ in Nigeria is one. The sons of the bondwoman cannot be ruling us for years when we have over 120 million Christians. You don't know what is causing the problem. The church, the dimension we call church, have become a dividing wall. So denominationalism and my own little empires will not allow us to unite our resources to deal with bigger issues. Let me just give you a small example. Our brothers in the north are dying. They are being killed. Just last year, statistics have come out that over 5,000 pastors have been massacred and their wives are widows. So when I returned from abroad this end of this year, that end, I had an audience for 2 days with northern missionaries, many that have lost their life. I had direct audience. I hosted them. Let me keep a lot of information. There are things I heard in that meeting that broke my heart. You can imagine, particularly an organization that had their church building, their mission center, their training center, like a Bible school. These guys, after running over the whole society, turns that mission center to a terrorist camp. So when they finish kidnapping another, that's where they keep the victims before they march, and they will be there negotiating for. And then the Christian missionaries are there. So I asked, what are you people doing when you are there? He said, all of us that are allowed to stay alive have to be paying tax. Then we are allowed to stay in the community. You farm, but the farm produce belongs to them. They only allow you little to be eating, so you don't die because you're working for them. Then your wife, I want you to see this. This is the one I had. I broke that. I didn't know when I started crying. Your wife and your daughters are their sex slaves. When they go out after operating, of course, they have those who are in the camp guarding the place. The ones who go to operate, who do all the things in the forest, when they return, your wife must be ready for them. They do whatever they like with her. Your daughters, including the ones that have not finished maturing. And one of them cried. He was crying when he was talking. He said, okay, sometimes I wish they even killed me when they killed my colleagues. Because now I'm alive, they preserve me. But every day I watch my wife and my two daughters being abused. Now, let me tell you, I left that place. I went to meet our leaders. I said, to help this man. And there are many things we're going to do because I asked them how to help. I didn't know how to help. They mentioned certain things. One of the things they mentioned is that they need schools in safe places. Apostle, they need schools, territories that are safe, not the battlefront. And why are they asking for the schools? So that their daughters and children can at least leave and go and get healthy education. Because right there again, they are being discipled as. After witnessing their parents kid, witnessing all the atrocity, being abused like a young girl, you are still 13, you are still 14. Now, the next thing again is that you have to be forced to go through a type of education and not bringing that you, if you are going to go to school at all, because many of them are there, not going to school. So, okay, 5,000 missionaries have died. Their wives are widows, and many of them, if they are living in these territories that are occupied, those wives are sex slaves. Now, the children can have. That was when I told our people, the first budget we make every year, these people must get their money before we can spend it on any other thing, every year. And we're going to do it by 2030, we do a revaluation and know what else. Do you know, just that thing that we didn't announce it on TV, we didn't say anything. This January, a gentleman heard it. I don't know how he heard it. I don't know him before. He said, I heard that you decided to put other people's burden because it's not your own pastors. These are, we're not even talking about our own pastors in that territory. We have pastors there. And we have our own budget for them. That you took burden of what does not concern you. This gentleman said, I'm a businessman. Now I'm also going to take burden of what. I don't want you to spend a kobo on this. The budget, I'm going to write it off just to address issues in the north without asking him for it. Now, there are wealth. The smallest level is at the individual level, why you are focusing on yourself. Everything, business, me. There is a bigger wealth when you start thinking about your church and the community. There are a lot of needs. Can you imagine certain people that will say, Pastor Poch, what is the budget this year for this, for Wolfberg, for the one that is coming, for the platform, for all that? Every year, I want to be one of the person that write off this. Because at that moment, you are investing in your community. You are part of a community. Just like the organs in your body, a part of a body, you as an individual that is saved is placed to be part of a community. God sets the solitary in families. Now, there is a dimension of wealth God will open up for you when your vision goes beyond you. But the highest level of wealth comes when you start solving national problems. You see, all the things we're complaining about here in Nigeria are opportunities. So the Bible you and I read. You know, yesterday where I was closing, I was talking about the five levels of the prophetic. The first level is the spirit of prophecy. The second level is the gift of prophecy. The third level is the office of a prophet. And that office is the only one that every believer cannot operate. Some, those that are called into it. Because the equipment, you don't just call yourself a prophet. There are five equipment that establishes that office. You have to, for example, have the simple gift of prophecy. But that's not all. You have to have the revelation gifts like word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. A combination of that. But beyond that, certain prophets now carry tools of power, like Moses. You see, he can stretch his hand, the Red Sea will divide. Like Elijah. Some others don't. So beyond the office of the prophet is even a higher level of the prophetic is the prophecy of the scripture. 2 Timothy, Peter chapter 1, verse 21. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old times by the will of man. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The scripture has more authority than a prophet, and more authority than prophecy, and more authority than any of this. It's with that one you judge every other type of prophetic operation. Because Psalm 119 said, forever, O God, your word is what? Settled in heaven. So you don't need to be a prophet. All you need to do is take the word of God, subject it to meditation or prayer, take it in the place of worship, it will activate like a seed that is planted. If you take it only as a logos, it's like you're carrying a seed of corn, a seed of palm kernel. But inside that seed is life. Inside that seed is energy. Bring water. Bring the right environment around it, the seed will germinate. That's what we call activation. When it activates, it becomes a rhema word. You can speak it, it will create itself. It will bring itself to pass. It's no more just information, it's now a creative word. That's why in the dynamics of faith, there is a place for meditation. There is a place for activation. There is. That's the difference between the other man that is just speaking logos and the man that is speaking rhema. The man that is speaking logos, the speaking of logos will get to a point that practice will also activate the word. It will explode in your spirit. It's not a revelation. It's not a rhema word. It's not a quickened word. At that moment when you speak it, it becomes creative in your mouth like it was in the mouth of God when he created the universe. So, I don't have to be a prophet to program my ear. No. You program your ear with your mouth. You call the things that be not as though they were, and they will become. That's what I do with the ear. But there is another side to the prophecy of the scripture. That book is a book of foresight and is a book of prophetic strategies. If I want to know what the future holds, if I want to know what this year holds, I put on the prophetic goggle. I remove my natural eyes, how I see things. I take the word of God and put it as my goggle, and I look through the scriptures. Because that's what the prophetic anointing also does for you. If the prophetic anointing is on you, it elevates you to the height of the eagle. So you gain an eagle's view, the helicopter's view. You see, from the ground, you can only see so much. And that's the limit of walking by sight. When you rise up from the position of an aircraft, you can see further. You can hang there, look at VI, look at Ikeja, look at the sea, see the boats and the ships that are coming, look the other end. So you see now, what you gain by that altitude is the ability to see the past, present, and future. You see where I'm standing now is present. I left my hotel to come here. That is past. It can't be future again unless I'm going back there. Where I'm headed now is future. So I'm heading to the airport, from the airport to some other place. Future. I'm not yet in that future. And I can't tell you what is happening at the airport right now. Because I'm on the ground. But what the prophetic does is that it lifts you like the eagle. From that high altitude, you look at where you are headed. Airport, look at it. Oh, wow. The president is arriving. Oh, there is some traffic near there. Then you look at where you are. And you can look at where you are coming from. If you want the picture of a prophet, look for the picture of an eagle. Everybody do like this. That is where you belong, by being filled with the Holy Spirit. You have an aerodynamic engine that gives you access to the realm of the Spirit. It's not only witches that can fly. Where I fly is higher altitude than where any witch can near. The Bible said he has given us a sitting at the right hand of the heavenly place. Far! So from where I fly, I can bomb that other lower aircraft and bring it down. You cannot hear that a snake killed an eagle. How can demons be insulting God's people? Because we're operating in the realm of the flesh, in the realm of the natural. If you take your sitting in that place, all demonic powers, according to the scripture, he said you are seated with him far above principalities and powers and dominion and any name that is to be named in this world and in the world to come. You have an aerodynamic engine. You have an aerodynamic engine, your human spirit, indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Do like this again. Yes, it's a prophetic action when you start forgetting who you are. Witchcraft, demonic activities can affect those who operate in the flesh, in the natural. But your dominion is not found in your flesh. Your dominion is found in your spiritual status in Christ. I need to slow down because one or two points I want to get across to us. So, but the highest level of the prophetic is not even the prophecy of the scriptures. It's actually the highest though. But there is something as God installed for the purpose of safety. It's what is called prophetic company. You see it in the Old Testament called company of prophets. Prophetic communion is actually prophetic peer reviews. Maybe I should read a scripture on that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29. The prophecy of the scripture is the highest, but this one was installed as control, as security, as safety. For any man of God who preaches, for any prophet who operates in the office of a prophet, for anybody who prophesies, for anybody who believes that he hears from God, this is where your safety is. And apostle, I practiced this. I learned from Kenny Hagin when he interpreted Ephesians chapter 3. He said, comprehending with all sense the depth, the width, the height, the four dimension of the love of Christ with passeth knowledge. See what he was saying? That to come into full understanding of Christ, you have to tap into corporate knowledge. Here now, it is tapping into corporate dimension to the prophetic. That's how I stay away from trouble. You saw what Pastor Poju was saying. Don't stay only within your own circle. And what he means by that is your own church world, where you are the general overseer, you are the Alpha and the Omega, you are the prophet, you are the everything, and you are the one that tells everybody, nobody puts invest into your life, that ministry will die small. You too will die small. See what the Bible says. We prophesy in part and we know in part. But the same scripture said that there is something that is perfect. And we're only going to assess that when Christ comes. So I asked the Lord, is it only when Christ comes that we will reach that dimension? He said, no. That thing that is complete is found when you look into the body. If you look into the corporate dimension of the body, you find the fullness of Christ. If you look only to your individual level, you are only operating a measure, just a part, both in knowledge and in wisdom and even in the prophetic. So look at what he said here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 29. He said, let the prophet speak two or three, and let what? Others judge. Then verse 30, if anything be revealed to another that seated by, that means you guys have been prophesying, saying what you're saying, but everything you have covered is not that all there is to cover. There are still certain insight outside that circle of coverage. But somebody else that is sitting by has picked that other dimension that will complete what we have started. He said, let the others hold his peace, and then let the other man speak. Verse 31. Verse 30. For we may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And I can also say, and all may be edified. So this thing now is what Pastor Poju has set up here. You see it every Wolfberg. The man is loaded. Why is he bringing ministers here? To make sure that not only that the covenant nation, but also the rest of us are not operating on one eye, thinking we are seeing something, and limiting ourselves when God is much bigger than that. And this is where the safety is found. Because whether it is revelation that you are catching, whether it is the prophetic that you are dabbling into, you have other people that can help you balance what you're seeing and what you're saying. And your ministry will stay safe. You know, I don't need to take this further. All intelligence, forms of intelligence, have interferences. Look at TV. Okay, let's take radio. If you use your radio, you will know that there are times you are tuning in to your favorite station, but you are picking signals from other stations, and they are mixing with the ones you are hearing. That's why in the old way of transmission, radio transmission, there is a knob they put there for fine-tuning, Even when you get the station, you are still picking up music from here. This station is supposed to be announcing news, but here is music playing. It's not from the station. You are picking up mixed signals. The other knob is it fine tunes, and finally you are on it. One man asks a young girl, or a young woman asks an elderly man, he said, between men and women, which ones are stronger? The man said, of course, women. He said, how is that possible? He said, because it takes like 6 men to carry a man to his grave. You see a dead man, you see people carrying 6 men, but it takes just 1 woman to send him there. I pay her. And whenever I tell that story, I tell younger pastors, don't emulate me. Our children are grown. They've finished. So it's easy to do that. Yeah. So if you have a younger family with kids at home, you will have disaster. Madam, start traveling like that. Yeah. And then we also grew into this phase. I didn't start church and start international. No. You will have disaster in the church too. There are phases. Okay. Say, I hear. So this dimension also provides, it has 7 benefits. It provides safety. For example, I just mentioned that it gives me a 360 view. I follow Wobeck, follow Pastor Poju, follow that. I gain what I'm not able to pick. Look at the blessing I had today, to be able to be here before you started. When I came, they kept me at the reception. I said, who is me? He said, it's Apostle Sass. I said, I didn't know that you were. Take me inside. He said, you would distract the people. I said, I will go like this. He said, because the way you walk in is the front of the stage. You would just, I said, no. You see how the things you release here? Because focus also creates blindness. So he sees the back, I see the front, Pastor Poju sees the right, and the other man, and then I gain 360 views. And then for safety, when I get sensitive prophecy, I'm not a prophet, but I hear from God. Oh, I hear very well. But I also know that the best of us can be fooled. Sometimes the radio is jamming. It happens with your phone. Sometimes you are whatever. One time I turned my phone to talk to Pastor Sarah. One lady that doesn't even hear English, was talking in Hausa, you know, in Fulani, in my order. I said, who are you? She replied me, and I said, what is this? What kind of, is MTN or what? It happens. So if it happens in this realm, can you imagine what happens in the realm of the spirit? Where there are all kinds of spirits in operation, there is your human spirit sometimes, and you think it's God. There is the Holy Spirit, and there are some crazy guys out there transmitting signals. So Jesus, and don't tell me I was on top of a mountain, I was fasting, it was 40 days, I heard it loud and clear. Oh, that you are fasting, you need to be more careful. Because Jesus was in the middle of the fast when the guy showed up. And at one time he tried deception, he wouldn't get him, he quoted the Bible. So even the Bible can be used to deceive. But of course, you know how he defeated him. Everyone say, it is written. It is written. It is written. You have to be grounded in the word before dumbling into the prophetical. Because it's the word that will cause that aircraft to take off and land. Your GPS, your navigational equipment, is that your Bible? If you have not loaded it in, be careful about dumbling into this stuff. Stay under. Taking off is one thing, landing is the other thing. So a man can go fasting and come out with one thing. He said, but I was fasting. I was in consecration. That does not stop the devil. You have to stay on the authority and be listening to the word. It will be helping you to stay safe. This modern thing that is beginning to come up is just me and the Lord. The Lord is the one discipling me. I never learned it from anybody. I got it direct from heaven. You are in trouble, oh. Even Jesus, for how many years, from the time he was 12 till he turned 30, was going there, sitting under teachers of the law and tutors. Then you have discovered something that Jesus did not know. How to bypass all human being, all human authority. After all, the Bible said, the Spirit of God will teach you. Yes, it's true. But the same Spirit of God installed teachers, installed pastors, installed apostles, installed all of that for our safety. And those who go around teaching that you don't need pastors, you don't need the church, just stay in your house. This is what you're telling God's children. Why don't you convert the sentence and teach it to your own children? When you give to your children, tell them you don't need school. You don't need lecturers. You don't need professors. Just stay at home. You will become a medical doctor. Let's see how that will be. If you want to pass it to God's children, try it with your own children first. You just learn it all by yourself, all at home. You learn how to become an aeronautical engineer just sitting at home. You don't need anybody. Hey. So, that third dimension provides safety. There are sensitive things. When they come to me, I have people I submit it to. And I allow them the liberty. It's not you that are judging, it's your prophecy that I judge. It's the intelligence you got that I assess it. Okay, let me drop something else. Go a little in this direction before my time runs up. Since this is January and it's the beginning of the year, and we've entered a critical season in the plan and purpose of God for his church, God is trying to raise individual believers that are strong and committed to the local church. But he's also trying to raise strong local churches that he will use to transform the nation, the society. If you are maturing as a believer, I want to know your strength and your contribution in your local church. If you're just living at that individual level, you have not understood the divine program. Then if a church is strong, I want to see the impact that church is making in the society. I gave the example of the north now. Because those schools, and as we are ending the fast this January, the construction starts, and there are a team of missionaries who have put together as a board in one place. I want to see what they will produce by the end of this year. And then I watch those children go through school, get sound education, as well as have their faith preserved and prepare for the next generation. You don't know the type of reward, what that means to me. So the country has three problems: the pilot or pilots, the plane, and the passengers. So we have governance, leadership issues. We have system and institutional issues, problems, institutions that are not working like they should. And we have the problem coming from citizens. The kidnapping, the ritual murders, the armed robbery, the most of the things that are going wrong. Is it the government doing it? Yeah, there are challenges with the pilot. But if you have a very good pilot and you give him a rickety aircraft system, you have a broken down aircraft, how far can he go? But if you have a good airplane, brand new one, and the pilot doesn't know what he's doing, how far can we go with that? But if you look at these three problems, I can even break them down into two segments. Both the pilot and the people and the passengers are people. So 70% of the problem are people problem. About 25 to 30% are system problem. And if you want to go further, who runs our systems? Who is in charge of Ministry of Education? Who is in charge of our customs? Who is in charge of our ministry? According to the divine blueprint, if you solve the people problem, the people will now solve the system problem. This is how God said it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let us make man in our image and let them have dominion over the earth. God said, I will fix, create, and fix the human being. The human being will fix his society and fix the world. And that was why when the system collapsed and man fell, he came and died for man and then commissioned man to advance the kingdom. I want you to watch. The kingdom is the system of God. He came and redeemed you and I and gave us the commission to now advance the kingdom. He didn't die for the oil sector. He did not die for the educational sector. He did not die for the economy. He died for you because you are the real treasure, the ultimate treasure there is on earth. So the purpose of redemption was to fix what the first Adam damaged at the fall. But the original program has not changed. God's purpose for making man is an eternal purpose and it will never change. He created him in his image for man to have dominion. Okay? So that brings me, because what I want to tackle now is human development in the kingdom. The human problem, how to solve it. And God gave that assignment to the church. Let me tell you, the government can arrest people, but they can't fix people. They will have to keep building prisons. This thing that is going on in our nation, where is the institution with the mandate and the ability to solve the problem? The church. The other two institutions that are given to assist us is the family and the educational system. The family is the first church. If you get the pastor and his assistant, the father and the mother, right? This is why, if you have studied the seven ordinances of the church, You start with the basic one, the foundational ordinances like baptism, like Holy Communion, like all those ones, laying on our hands, Holy Spirit baptism. And you go to the ordinances of service. If you get to the ordinance of service, you have ordination, where we commission pastors, but you have matrimony. Matrimony before ordination. Every time we are wedding two people, we are planting a church, a family church. That is the pastor and his assistant that you are commissioning. And later, there will be members. Some of them will be the children. Some of them will be servants. Some of them will be relatives. Some of the other members will be workers. But their job is to first bring that cell system to Christ and disciple it, and then make sure that they are part of the body of Christ, and then turn their home as a unit for reaching the community where they live. So the children are, just like those parents are part of the adult church, the children are part of the children's church. The parents should not leave their spiritual development at the mercy of just what they hear in church. They are supposed to go back, take the Bible, study what the pastor has said, set up a prayer meeting at home, and be a segment of the kingdom of God in the community. The same way, the children should not just be left at the hand of the children's church. The parents should take the responsibility of discipling their children at home. My kids are now grown. It's harder to get them together. Oh, you don't know what I did. Like during COVID, I was so grateful to God for the COVID period, because we were holding church. For that 6 months to how many months the COVID lasted, we were holding service 6 days a week. The only day we don't hold service is on our own Sabbath day, on Sunday. Because on Sunday, I was in church preaching. I did not close church for once. I had cameras in front of me talking to the whole world and talking to our people everywhere. And those cameras, we'll do praise and worship. We'll do all the things that we need to do. And I'll preach. And when we finish, we'll collect offering. But my kids, 3 hours service every day. Because at the end, as the COVID was getting to a close, I asked them to publish books based on what I taught them in that 6 months. And 3 books came out. Now, I'll be honest with you, we don't do it every day in our normal house because it wasn't feasible. But we have one day that we have church in the house. Other days, sometimes short prayer, maybe one memory, whatever. And then in the days, I used to drop them in school. The school was in the same estate. When I lived in Lagos, I used to drop them once in a while, Pastor Sarah, the other times. When you enter the car and we are going, I used to love it because it's Bible study. We're discussing the word till we get to the gate of the school. We're talking about how the kingdom of God invades society. The way it happens is through the ones that have received it in them. Through you and I, we become the catalyst. One soul at a time, one family at a time, one community at a time. Every one of you is to live Warwick, starting with your home. And that home, you open it up to start inviting your friends and your neighbors. So cell church is house church. It's actually every couple, a pastor and an assistant. And then they submit to the church that they belong to. They get the resources from the pastor. They come home and break the bread and it multiplies in their hands. So, this human development, if you look at the model the father gave in Genesis chapter 1, is a very simple model. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. He gave a three-dimensional model. But then I noticed that in verse 29, he added the fourth to make it complete. He dealt with the body. Because what he did was the heart, the head, and the hands. He said, be, do, and have. And I like the having part. That's where prosperity is. I like the having part. That's where dominion is. From financial dominion, professional dominion, intellectual, and other realms of dominion. That's where power is. I like it. That's where authority is. That's where influence is. But you are not going to get to having till you be, you become, and you start doing. That automatically now shows me how to organize our training system as a church, family development, human development program for the children in the house. And if I'm doing a mentorship program, I know what to do with those proteges. That the building of a human being has to cover three dimensions. So I said to the Lord, okay, let's deal with being. Be like what? He said, they are to become like me. And since Adam messed up the program, God sent a second Adam to show us what we are to be like. Jesus is the model God gave us for what we can be, for what we can do, and for what we can have. I already know about the having, because the Nigerian church likes to focus on prosperity and the having and all of that. So sitting under the house, I have learned a lot about having. All that my father has is mine. That's what Jesus said. So me too, I said, all that Jesus has is mine, because we are joint heirs with Christ. Not half-half, not one quarter. Anything that is mine. All things are yours. But I noticed that a lot of work was not done on the being, and to some level on the doing. The failure of modern church right now in Nigeria is more on the being. Because when we look at our products, what this factory is producing, the human being are far from looking like Jesus. Our calling is to produce men that look like Christ, that behave like him, that act like him, that can do what he did. Give society governors that are like Jesus. Give society presidents that are like Jesus. Give society lawmakers that are like Jesus. Give society, give organizations, give institutions, lawmakers. This is the factory that manufactures and distributes to the society, the church. Your family is also a factory that manufactures and distributes. What kind of children are we raising and releasing into the society? We are raising problems, hoping for who to solve it. Who is going to solve it? The minister, or the senator, or the president. So, at the heart of human development is being. There is an aspect of our being that is commonly taught, our identity, who we are in Christ. And that is wonderful, because people need to find their identity, themselves in God, before they can begin to perform. Until that is solved, performance is weak. But let me tell you, our being is not just identity. Our being, the first foundation, the first work you do is spiritual and moral development. So what has happened is that we now do spiritual development. We get people who can function by faith, people who can cast out devils, people who can exercise authority, but character is zero. But Jesus was both. I pastored for 7 years in Enugu. Something was going on in that place. The governor one day was in my office. He said, there's something going on. All my commissioners, every time they're discussing your church, because everybody that wants to marry said, there is one place you can get good wives, reliable women to marry. Go to Dr. Obueli. Because we created a school of Esther, a school to groom young girls for marriage. Do you know, at one time, the whole government house was at the palm of my hands. They are wives. The governor told me, he said, you're a dangerous man, so we have to keep you. He gives us land, he gives us budget, he gives us whatever. One day, if I woke up one general, they took me to where they built a new estate. I said, choose the best building before we start selling. It's estate developed for sales. I picked the best one, even though I didn't want to live there, because it was too central. I like a quiet life, but I still picked. Do you know how that came about? I didn't know the man. Ladies that we have trained. How come now this factory is producing prostitutes? Women that can't sit at home. Women that their husband cannot trust. Women that before you turn like this, he has collected here, collected here. What is going on? You think he's just teaching people to speak in tongues, teaching people to exercise spiritual authority. We have to go back to our core assignment. We cannot change the ancient landmark. The church is the factory that produces good people, men of integrity, people that are reliable, people that can be counted upon. Now, let me tell you another thing that was happening. Beginning of the year like this, banks will write me. Or that corporate organization will write me. Give us your men, because we built a leadership school. They said, we have found that by experience that your men are trustworthy and reliable. What they don't have in some cases might be competence. And I took that as an indictment, because at that time we were not dealing with that. They said that, but give us, we will train them. We know what to do to them. We have our own training mechanism. We know where to send them. We'll send them to FBI, send them to this and that. One day, that's how I started getting invitation. A nearby state, a governor invites me. And he said, I wanted to come and address my state executive. He had the judges, he had all of that. And his introductory speech, or introduction speech, he said, the reason I invited you is that the best performing local government chairman and commissioner I have here are from your church. He said, there is a local government chairman that has given his local government electricity. He's sending children from that place to abroad. He has repaired the schools. And he said, I hope you know, Doc, that we, the governors, control their resources. We take majority of it. The little we leave for him, instead of, doing like others. That's what he's using to do all this. So I called him. I said, what is going on? He told me this is what we are taught in our church, and we went through a leadership school. We are taught this way. So the man said, please come and teach all my commissioners and everybody. That's my first political assignment. You cannot find a governor I'm mentoring, I'm consulting for, that is not a high performer. Of course, it was only one that almost destroyed my record, because I give them oath, apart from this one government gives them. If you are serious about service to your people, then you have me. I'll come and help you. Not interested in your money. But of course, if you sow, when the results start coming, they will bring the money big and kneel down. There's one, when I walk into his office, he's flat on the floor. And that part of the country, they don't kneel down or lie down for anybody. It's where they greet a king with his. Because of what? You're not going to produce this change if you don't change the values, if you don't change the moral quality of the individuals you are raising. So if you preach grace from here, that church will decay and sink into the toilet. When you finish preaching, preach values, preach principles, preach morals, then we can have back the Christianity of the Bible. If you don't have it, you have created human beings that are malfunctioning. And their problem starts from the heart, from the engine. You cannot know the job better than Jesus. Look at what he taught on the Sermon on the Mountain. Those values. Some of them you call beatitudes. And of course, those first three chapters, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7 of Matthew. Let that software be installed properly in every believer. And you have genuine Christians. Then, because the bank said your people are good, they are loyal, they are faithful, they are diligent, not competent. It was a big indictment, and I didn't know what to do. So now, at that time, what we are producing is good people, but not competent. They are trustworthy, but weak in delivering results. Which one is better? To have a competent person, but he is a criminal. Very intelligent, very wise, but he can sell you and sell your company. What you have created by doing that is producing an intelligent demon.
Oh.
An intelligent demon. On the other hand, you produce an angel, an incompetent angel. You produce good people, they can't get the job done. Which one is better to hire? Both of them are problems. That was when I knew that the pastor himself needed to upgrow. It's the level I knew I was teaching. Oh, I had to expand my world. I started going for training to expand my understanding, because the dimension that is weak is the likeness of God, the functionalities of God, how God creates result, the wisdom of God, and then somewhere along the line, the two balance. So now I can fly with two wings.
Instead of
just one wing. So you can produce good people, trustworthy people, men of integrity, but they deliver. They are professionally competent. They can deliver their job. If you give God those two people, he will take them to the height of their profession. They will rise to the level, height of influence, rise to the peak of their affairs. And that is what we are called to do as a church. Of course, after all that, you have to teach them power, teach them leadership, teach them influence, teach them the dominion resources, teach them all of that. And then those kind of people, an example, Daniel, an example, Joseph, God can use them to accomplish far more than 1 million members that are not developed.
Let's put our hands. Let's put our hands together for Dr.